Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. So today we're going to be talking about the sad situation that many couples face, the end of the road. When to give up, when to stop your IVF journey, even though you haven't got the baby that you desperately wanted. Stopping treatment is a big step. Things that come into play in making that decision, in my experience, are the frustrations, the emotional frustration of not getting pregnant. Couples deal with this in varying ways. One of the important things before going into any IVF cycle is having a reasonable expectation. And if we create the right expectation, then the lack of success is not so hard to take. But when you invest all that time, money, and emotion to not be pregnant, it's a real kick in the head. And it must feel like banging your head against a brick wall when again and again a beautiful embryo does not produce a positive pregnancy rate. So making that decision, that's the question. How do you make that decision? When do you make that decision? The first thing to look at is some realistic chances of success. Just recently, we published an article in the Medical Journal of Australia from the Australian National Data Set called ANZARD, and we analysed women going through cycles over a five-year period, and we looked at the success rates over repeated cycles. And the news for women under 38 is actually very good. If you stay in the game, if you keep going, if you can handle it, if you can handle the finances, handle the emotion, and you are producing reasonable embryos, which in women under 38 is 99% of women, then after five cycles, six cycles, pregnancy rates, expectations of having a baby, in fact, are over 70%. Even though in one cycle it may only be 40%, over time, the rolling of the dice eventually gets you the six in over 70% of cases. If you're under 34, in fact, our data showed it was nearly 85% if you keep trying. But as I say, it takes courage and money to make that happen, I'm afraid. When we look at the over 38s, in fact, the over 40s, that's where an earlier decision is often necessary to make. Success rates are certainly lower. And that lowering of success rates, as we've said in other podcasts, is primarily around the egg competence, its ability to produce a normal embryo. The aging process in eggs is, in fact, of all the cells in the body, the fastest occurring, even compared with cells in the heart, the muscles of the heart, the muscles of the legs, the cells in your brain. In fact, eggs degenerate faster than all of those. That degeneration starts with the loss of the powerhouse within the egg. Mitochondria provide the energy for the egg, for the energy of the egg to go through the multiple complex processes that lead to a genetically normal egg. The 23 chromosomes that ultimately line up ready to meet the 23 chromosomes of the sperm get there after a whole series of events that require energy sources and normal processes. And with age, those processes do decline. So eggs at 40 are a lot different from eggs at 30. When we fertilize those eggs at 40 and we do genetic testing on them, we find over 75 to 80% are abnormal. But that's the embryo we're putting back in the majority of cases. So it's not surprising that pregnancy rates are lower with IVF. And the same applies in nature. Pregnancies occur in 40-year-olds, but the odds of them implanting and producing a baby without a miscarriage are reduced. By 45, that's reached 98%. 98% of beautiful blastocysts at 45 will be genetically abnormal. I thought in the last 6 weeks that I was a miracle man. A patient of mine, in fact, her husband did odd jobs around my house, remarried a beautiful woman at 45, and they came to me saying, "I want to have a baby." And I said, "No chance. Don't waste your money. Your odds are less than 1%. This is somebody I've known for years, and I was being totally honest. But she said, "I want to feel what it's like to have a baby." So I said, "I'll do it." And so we went through a cycle. We got one follicle using the maximum dose of drugs. Usually we're getting, in a 30-year-old, we will get, with that dose of drugs, we'd get 30 eggs. We got one follicle. The odds of getting an egg out of one follicle in a 45-year-old is probably not much better than 50-50. I told them that that was good news, but tomorrow, the day after the egg collection, we will be able to see whether it's fertilized. The odds of fertilization, again, less than 50%. So we've got 50% of 50%, 25% chance of an embryo. For one embryo to grow onto a blastocyst, even in a 30-year-old, is only about 1 in 5. We're back to 5%. But she's 45, and the blastocyst rate in that group's even less. But we got to a blastocyst, and we put the embryo back. And 10 days later, she had a positive pregnancy test. And I said to them, "The journey's not over yet. Your odds of that embryo being normal are 2%. Today I did a scan on her, and sadly, she's not pregnant. She's got a miscarriage. So for her, the road has ended. We discussed today what to do next. She doesn't want to try again. We thought we had a miracle, but unfortunately not. But there is hope for her. She has a cousin in Greece who she's going to contact, who's young, and she may give her eggs. So she may yet get her desire to have a baby, but it won't be with her eggs. So for many couples, particularly in their 40s, egg donation is now where they're turning to. But making that decision to go there for many couples is very difficult because they want their genetically own child. I notice in my experiences around the world that, you know, particularly in the US, clinics are not even offering IVF to patients over 42 and send them straight to egg donation saying, "Don't waste your money." Maybe that's right, but certainly in Australia with our Medicare system at the moment, we can at least have a go and not bankrupt the couple. And for many women, that single cycle means they've done everything possible. They've reached the conclusion that they're not going to have a baby with their eggs. To some extent, with our technology, we've created hope. For women, certainly 44 plus, that hope is incredibly small. So for those patients, I do believe it's worth trying, but that journey has to be a very short journey unless a miracle occurs.
And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey, all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.